Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, I'm Rachel Laidler, Project Editor at DK Eyewitness.
And I'm Alex Pathé, Editor at DK Eyewitness.
And welcome to Where to Go, where every fortnight we find out more about the world's favourite travel destinations with the people who know those places best.
Hello, Rachel. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really good, Alex. Thanks. How are you doing?
I'm good. This is the first time we've hosted the podcast together, which is very exciting.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I'm really looking forward to it. Where are we off to today?
Well, this is why I'm particularly excited, because we're going close to your neck of the woods in this episode, Rachel. We're going to the west of Scotland. We're going to Glasgow.
Yeah, up to Scotland. It's going to be really good.
For sure. Have you been to the city before?
I have been. So I used to be a student in Edinburgh, Glasgow's rival.
Uh-huh.
And so we used to pop across to there sometimes for the city's like amazing nightlife and live music scene. But I've got to admit, I don't really know the city as well as I should do.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'd like to go back and explore a bit more, and hopefully this is going to give me the inspiration to do it. But how about you? Have you ever been?
I have been. Yeah. So I moved to the city at the end of 2019.
Nice.
When I was applying for PhD funding, because I think I'd visited maybe twice before and I just fell in love with it the moment I went. But I lived there for almost a year, but the year just happened to be 2020. So the vast majority of the time I was living there, everything was shut because of COVID restrictions. So I'm super excited actually about hearing about the city in its full flow when everything's open and alive. And yeah, I think it's going to be a really great episode.
Should be good.
Who do we have on today, Rachel?
So today we've got Sarah J.C. Gillespie joining us. Born in Dundee and now living in Glasgow, today's guest, Sarah J.C. Gillespie, is a travel writer and whisky expert with bylines in Travel and Leisure, The Times, The Guardian, The Telegraph and National Geographic Traveller UK. Welcome, Sarah.
Thanks very much for having me.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to have you on. So as usual, we'll start by learning a little bit more about our guest, Sarah, followed by her all-important recommendations of where to go and insider knowledge of Glasgow. Then we'll hear about how to plan the best possible visit.
So Sarah, you've travelled all over Scotland and indeed all around the world, but how did you end up calling Glasgow home?
So before I moved to Glasgow, I was actually living in the Czech Republic, which is a whole other story in itself.
Amazing.
I was living there for a lot of the pandemic and then moved back to Scotland towards the end of the pandemic. And I think I just got really homesick, you know, while I was there, and decided that I wanted to settle down in Scotland and kind of call it my, you know, permanent home. But then there was the question of where do I end up settling down? And I had a few different options in mind. You know, I do love Dundee, but it felt a little too familiar, and I wanted to just mix it up a wee bit. And so I was looking at a few different places, spoke to a few friends, just visited some cities. I mean, obviously, I know them all pretty well, but, you know, actually looking at them from the perspective of somewhere to live. And I realized that Glasgow really ticked all of the boxes for me, you know, because I really like cities. I like having lots of variety, lots of bars and restaurants and venues nearby. But there are a lot of things about cities that also don't like, you know, I don't like noise, I don't like pollution, I really don't like crowds. And I realized that Glasgow could give me, you know, it's a decent sized city, it's about 1 million people, and I feel like it really punches above its weight in terms of culture and food offerings. And also because the cost of living is quite cheap, it means that a lot of very exciting independent businesses have set up. So you get a lot of the benefits of the big city, but without any of the drawbacks. I mean, certainly where I live in East Glasgow, it's very quiet and the air is very clean. And even during rush hour, I don't really see any big crowds, not the way that I used to when I lived in London.
Yeah,
but I think the thing that really swung it for me, and something I'm probably going to talk about quite a lot, was the music scene, because Glasgow's a UNESCO city of music.
Yeah.
And that for me was really the thing that clinched the decision.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Sarah. I'm sure, yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting into more of the kind of music scene later on. But
definitely,
if we kind of broaden the focus briefly now, obviously Scottish tourism is on the up and up. It's always been a hugely popular tourist destination, but particularly since COVID, it seems numbers are just rising kind of stratospherically. Could you sort of sum up what it is that drives visitors to Scotland?
Well, I think in the social media age, I think any country that has visual appeal is going to do really well from a tourism perspective. And definitely, I think it helps that there's been, this has been the case for many, many years, but especially recently, there have been a lot of TV shows and films that have been filmed in Scotland, and particularly in Glasgow, actually. So obviously you got Outlander, and also scenes from the most recent Indiana Jones and Batman movies were filmed in Glasgow. And, you know, James Bond did a lot for Glencoe. Harry Potter, of course, did an awful lot for the Glenfinnan Viaduct and other places like that. And I think also Scotland is very Instagrammable. You know, it looks really good on a social media post. And I think the Visit Scotland team, they really know how to work social media. You know, they're very good at making it look really appealing. And the Scotland brand in general is very powerful. You know, when you say Scotland to someone who maybe hasn't been there or has only been there a couple of times, then, you know, you instantly think of, you know, glens and whiskey and castles and tartan and Highland cows and all of that. And the things, we actually do have these things, you know, it's not just this kind of made up image, but there is also a lot more besides that is there to be discovered. And I think that's really exciting.
Yeah, it's funny, actually, touching on the film thing, was it Necropolis in Glasgow that's been quite a big hit in films recently? Has that been, popping up?
Yeah, that's actually on my list of things to talk about later.
All right, okay, we won't jump into it now then. But so Edinburgh obviously is a bit of a rival to Glasgow, and it still seems to hog the headlines sometimes when it comes to like city trips in Scotland. But a lot of people seem to be waking up to the fact that Glasgow has so much to offer. So I know we've kind of briefly touched on this already, but could you sum up what exactly that is?
Again, it is really the music. You know, for me, I was trying to decide between Edinburgh and Glasgow. That was kind of my top two that I was trying to decide between. Mm-hmm. But it was really the music that swung it for me. And I think that there's something about audiences in Glasgow, when you go to a gig or something, the level of attentiveness that they show and respect for anyone, even if they don't even like your music, they'll still appreciate what you're trying to do. And as I'm a semi-professional musician myself, so I've done a couple of shows in Glasgow, and it's always been just the most brilliant reception, and they'll cheer for you even if you're the support act. And I just think that's so great. And just the people in general, I think, not that, I mean, people in Edinburgh are friendly, but I think in Glasgow, there's this whole different level of friendliness. Some people sometimes say aggressive friendliness, but I think once you get used to it, then you learn to appreciate that side of it.
I think that's such an interesting dimension of the music scene that you don't hear as much about. Obviously, everyone knows of Glasgow as having these incredibly iconic venues, but the fact that the kind of music listening crowds are really attentive, I think that's a really, really beautiful thing, because you hear so many musicians and bands talking about how much they love playing in the city, because it's just, as you say, it's such a welcoming and enthusiastic audience. So I think that's really lovely. Okay, Okay, so to really kick things off, we're going to ask you to give us a quick fire tour of the city. So we're going to name a few categories and you have to suggest just one thing to do in each of those categories. Are you ready?
Yes.
Perfect, thank you. So first of all, what is your favourite view?
My favourite view would be the necropolis in the east end of Glasgow, which was featured in the latest Batman movie. And actually, I know a lot of my friends just went to the cinema in Glasgow just to see that, just to see the necropolis in the Batman movie. It's Victorian cemetery built in this kind of classical revival style. There are about 3,500 tombs, including some very elaborate mausoleums.
Wow, that's a lot.
And I mean, I hadn't visited it until I actually moved to Glasgow. And I thought that, like, people kept recommending that I go to it. And I was like, a necropolis, that seems like a weird thing to recommend. when I actually went there, I realized, okay, yeah, now I get it, because it's built on this kind of tiered, on this hill. And you just kind of look up on it and see all of these tiers and tombs and tombs and tombs that are all built in different styles, some of them extremely ornate. Yeah. And then when you get to the top of the hill, there's this incredible view over Glasgow Cathedral and over, you know, over the east side and over central Glasgow as well. So yeah, that would be my favourite view.
I was really hoping you were going to say that. It's such a fantastic part of the city, particularly when it's a really moody, rainy day. There's something so atmospheric about that view from
there. Yeah, that's when you're actually happy that Glasgow's weather is the way that it is.
Exactly.
So you're coming back down the hill now from the necropolis. Where are you going to go and grab a bite to eat? What's your favourite thing to eat?
That's a bit of a weird one, but I love Tantrum Donuts. Well, it's kind of a chain, but it's a chain within Glasgow. So there's three branches in Glasgow. The first one opened in 2015. Oh. And it does these handmade donuts that are fantastic. They're really quite unusual flavors. So you got like creme brulee, peanut butter and jam, pistachio and hibiscus.
Nice.
And I didn't realize until recently, but it seems to have made a bit of a name for itself outside of Glasgow, because I had some visitors from America recently who said, oh, I want to go to Tantrum Donuts. And I said, I didn't realise this was a thing. But apparently it is quite a well-known thing to go and like get Tantrum Donuts. And they're just really nice donut. My personal favourite is the blueberry jam one, which is apparently, I think it's vegan. I'm not vegan, but I didn't even notice. So it's a very good donut.
Sounds
that is
so
definitely
good.
Gonna go on my list next time in the city. That sounds brilliant. Yeah. I'm quite looking forward to asking you this one, Sarah. What's your favorite thing to drink? I feel like it's quite a tricky one.
I mean, it's me, so it's always gonna be whiskey. But specifically related to Glasgow, I would recommend going to the Clydeside Distillery, which opened about 7 years ago. Yeah, 2017. And produces very classic kind of lowland style whiskey, which is very light and floral. It's quite a good beginner whiskey. So if you go to the tour, it's got this great, like, very modern multimedia tour. And then at the end, you do the guided tasting where they take you through how to sniff the whiskey properly and, you know, how to kind of draw out all of the notes. And it's good because it is a good beginner whiskey. It's not going to melt your face off. It's quite a nice kind of light before dinner whiskey that I would really recommend trying.
That sounds so, so good. I am a fan of whiskey. I think since I started living in Scotland, I've dabbled with different ones, but that sounds like the perfect one to try. So in terms of if you're in Glasgow for the day, what sort of activity would be the first thing that you would recommend to people to do? What's your favorite one?
One of my favorite kind of day activities in Glasgow is go to the House for an Art Lover, which was
nice.
Of course, Glasgow is the city of Charles Rennie Mackintosh, and there are lots of his works throughout the city. The House for an Art Lover has quite an interesting story behind it, because it looks like a very, you know, authentic period Art Nouveau piece, but it was actually opened in 1996. And the story behind it is that there was an international competition to submit a house for an art lover, to submit these designs. And Mackintosh was one of the architects who entered the competition, but he was disqualified because he entered it late. So even though the judges, I think it was a German competition. So, you know, they're really strict about lateness. And yes. So they said, absolutely love the design, Charles, but, you know, you just didn't enter it on time. So yeah, he got disqualified, and those plans just kind of sat there. And then this engineer who had been working on some restorations for Macintosh buildings decided to actually build the house for an art lover. But it was never actually designed to be built. It was only for this competition. So they had to figure out how to actually make it workable. So it took a while. It took 7 years to build it and eventually opened in 96.
I never knew that backstory. I've been before, but I must have walked around with my blinds on because I never knew that was the history. That's so interesting.
Neither did I. It just completely passed me by.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a design nerd. Probably picked up on that.
So the city has such a rich cultural scene, as we've sort of touched on there. But if you had to pick just one museum or gallery to recommend, what would you pick?
I would personally pick the Burrell Collection. Mm. So it opened, or reopened rather, in 2022, had been undergoing a very, very long and very expensive renovation. But the story behind the Burrell is, I don't know if you've ever been to the Chester Beattie Library in Dublin, but it's quite a similar sort of premise where Sir William Burrell was a very wealthy shipping merchant who loved to collect art, which included like a huge collection of Chinese art. I think I heard it's one of the biggest in the UK.
Wow.
And tapestries, impressionist paintings like by Cézanne, Degas, Manet. And then in 1944, he very generously donated everything to the city of Glasgow. And that was how the Burrell Collection was born.
Amazing.
So that's now in Pollock Park. Pollock Park is also a really nice place to take a walk. So if it's a nice day, you can go to the collection and then just have a walk around the park.
That sounds so nice.
When I lived in Glasgow for a year, I lived just outside Pollock Park, but it was before 2022. So it was closed. Was it being renovated or was there something
it
happening?
It was, yeah.
So yeah. I never managed to go, but I definitely need to go when I'm next back in the city because it looks amazing.
I would really recommend, yeah.
So I know we've touched already on quite a few highlights that you can see within Glasgow, but what are some that listeners absolutely must not miss if they're visiting the city?
So I would say go to a gig. Doesn't matter who it is. It really doesn't matter because it's just you go for the Glasgow crowd and the atmosphere. But there are certain venues, of course, that are pretty iconic. So you've got the Barrowland Ballroom, which originally opened in 1934 as a dance hall. And I think for the last 40 or so years, it's been putting on gigs. So you've had, you know, David Bowie and, I don't know, everyone who's anyone really has played at the Barrows. And then you've got King Tut's and Nice and Sleazy's, which are both really good venues for more kind of grassroots stuff. So you could end up discovering the next big thing. Mm-hmm. And another thing would be to, again, Charles Rennie Mackintosh, go and take afternoon tea at the Willow Tea Rooms. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a newer one on Buchanan Street, but the original is at Socky Hall Street and was first opened in 1903, but it's been restored because it wasn't a tea room for a while. It was a whole load of other things, but then eventually got restored into a tea room, so you can go and have an afternoon tea there.
Perfect. That sounds amazing. I feel like a lot of the great charms in Glasgow are quite unsung. So are there any kind of hidden gems that visitors might not have been to before that you can kind of suggest?
There's an interesting kind of trend in Glasgow. I don't know if it's happening in other places, but in Glasgow, I've noticed this is combining a record store with maybe a cafe or a restaurant or something. So in the south side, you got Some Great Reward, which is a sort of independent record store and cafe. And then in the West End, absolutely love this name. It's called Strip Joint Records.
Oh, and amazing.
that's like classic bar food. And then in this sort of around the center, you've got the Mono Vegan Cafe, which I haven't tried their food yet. I've only been to buy records, but I've been told they do very good cake. So that's one thing, the sort of cafe record store hybrid thing. And then the other thing that I really want to talk about that not many people know about is the incredible jazz scene here.
Nice.
Interesting.
I'm a really big jazz fan, and what's a bit kind of anomalous about Glasgow is it doesn't actually have a dedicated jazz venue, and yet it has this really rich scene. So it's just a lot of restaurants and bars and cafes that just put on jazz nights. So many that you could probably find one most nights of the week. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of variety. You know, one of the first gigs I went to when I moved to Glasgow was a band called Nimbus Sextet, which are kind of like an acid jazz. Like, if you think of the sort of vein of like Jamiroquai, that sort of like old Jamiroquai.
Sweet.
And also you've got like Corto Alto, which is this kind of Glasgow jazz supergroup that all of these different musicians got together, and it's this kind of electro jazz thing. But nice. I think for me, the most exciting thing is what I've been calling it like Glasgow jazz, because I don't know what else to call it. Uh-huh. But it's this style that I've not heard anywhere else. And it takes jazz and like Scottish folk music and actually combines them in this sort of unique genre. And I've heard it a little bit in other parts of Scotland, but it seems to have kind of originated in Glasgow with students that went to the Royal Conservatoire.
Okay.
Because that's kind of been like the center of a lot of creativity in Glasgow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, artists like Fergus MacReady, who was nominated for a Mercury Prize, mm-hmm. And Matt Carmichael and Skreel, and there's so many of them, but it's a really unique sound and it's one that I've not heard anywhere else.
That sounds absolutely incredible. Yeah, because I mean, Scotland's got such a rich kind of culture of folk music as well, because isn't Celtic Connections, there are venues in Glasgow too,
yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So I know that you said that one of the things that kind of attracted you to Glasgow was the fact that it doesn't feel like too busy a city, especially the area that you live in. But if you're looking for a little bit more kind of green and beautiful landscapes, what sort of day trips could you do from Glasgow, or indeed to other cities in the area as well?
Yeah, well, I guess the most obvious day trip from Glasgow would be actually to go to Edinburgh. It's only about, I think it's between 45 minutes and an hour depending on which train you take. And I mean, you know, I am very, very loyal to Glasgow, of course, but occasionally there are, you know, art exhibitions or whatever that are going on in Edinburgh and North Glasgow. So it's very easy to just hop on a train and go there. Of course, there's Stirling as well, which had a pivotal role in Scottish history. So you can go there and kind of look at the museums and the castle and all of that. In terms of nature, you've got Loch Lomond. It's pretty close.
Yeah,
I think you can actually get there by train. It's a bit easier by car, though. So that's just a really easy day trip from the city. And you've also got lots of distilleries within a pretty easy distance. And most of them will give you what they call driver drams. So if you're the designated driver, they'll give you a dram to take away with you so you don't have to kind of drink and drive.
That's so nice. That, I love
the driver's
that.
Not missing out. That's amazing. Oh, that's perfect. I think that leads really nicely on to my next question, which is I'm really looking forward to asking you. So you are, of course, a drinks expert, Sarah. Are there any places in the city that you'd really recommend for those who enjoy a tipple?
So I have to be totally honest, my favourite bar in the city is actually a private members club. It's the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society.
Wow.
And it is members only, but they do have rooms in Glasgow and Edinburgh and in London. So if you are a whiskey fan and you're spending time or living in any of those cities, I would still like recommend. I think it's about £70 a year now to get the membership. And they have completely unique single cask whiskies that you're not going to find anywhere else in the world. So yeah, it's like if you really like whiskey, I would really recommend that. If you are only visiting, obviously a lot of people are just going to be visiting for a weekend, so you don't want to tick out private membership.
Yeah.
Then you can go to the Pot Still, which is it's pretty famous bar. It's got about 800 whiskies. And
amazing.
For cocktails, I really like the Amsterdam, which is, that's just in the centre. And I have to admit, I've actually never seen the inside of it, because whenever I go, it's summer, and they have this, just this outdoor kind of al fresco area where you just sit with a really, really nice cocktail and just kind of watch the world go by. And they were
perfect.
The mixologists really know what they're doing. Yeah, they make a really good cocktail.
Amazing. I feel like these are such good recommendations in so many places I haven't heard of, which is really, really great. So it's really fantastic. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It may be small, but few countries can match Scotland's mix of scenic splendour and cultural heritage. From majestic mountains and moody moorlands to ancient castles and bustling cities, this richly varied land is yours to explore with DK Eyewitness Scotland.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
So we've talked a little bit about Glasgow's weather. We've touched on the how atmospheric, shall we say, it can get.
Yes.
But when do you think is the best time to visit Glasgow, either weather-wise or because, yeah, there's interesting stuff going on?
Well, if you are just visiting for, you know, culture, museums and nightlife, then honestly, any time of year is good. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it can't really sugarcoat it. Glasgow is a rainy city. There's not really any two ways about it. Probably the least rainy time, maybe, well, summer, obviously, early summer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people do visit Glasgow and tie it in with maybe exploring some of the West Coast, going to the islands, maybe bagging some Munros, which, if you're not from Scotland, means climbing lots of tall mountains. And if you are planning to do that, I would say probably May would be a good time, like May or September. Summer is really good, but you just need to bring a lot of insect repellent because the midges get quite crazy in the summer months.
The midges can be absolutely brutal. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Are there any particular events that our listeners should mark in the calendar for the coming year?
Yes. So Celtic Connections is a massive traditional music festival takes place from January to February every winter. I often like to call it the much calmer version of the Edinburgh Festival because I feel like it's the festival for people who don't like big crowds like me. But it takes place across all of Glasgow, you know, in some really great venues. And it's not just trad music, you know, obviously a lot of it is, but you also have the kind of trad jazz that I was describing earlier. Mm-hmm. You also have pop music. You know, I went to see Catherine Joseph. She was fantastic.
Amazing.
And a lot of massive variety of music, you know, and a lot of celebration of traditional music as well. So you sometimes have modern pop artists coming in to do covers of classic Scottish songs as well and doing special shows based around that. So for June, you have the Glasgow Jazz Festival. I think it's about five or six days. And again, that takes place in venues across the city. Mm-hmm. They do, actually, this is the case for both the Jazz Festival and Celtic Connections. They do tend to sell out the shows. So definitely kind of keep an eye on them. Sign up to the mailing list so you know when the shows are announced, and so you can actually get some tickets.
Yeah.
And then in July you have Transmit Festival, which is your classic kind of summer rock and pop festival, which was kind of intended to replace Tea in the Park after that festival stopped, and it's grown into this really big thing, which is great.
Sounds absolutely amazing. I can feel myself like wanting to log on and book tickets immediately. It all sounds so good. So we've got a last question for you. Essentially, we want to know, if somebody is visiting Glasgow, how can they make a positive impact on the city? Is there anything in particular that they could do to leave Glasgow better than they found it?
So I would say to definitely go to independent businesses, which is not hard in Glasgow because there are very, very many of them. But don't go to, as much as I love Costa and Starbucks, maybe go to a different, an independent cafe or an independent restaurant rather than big chains, because the independent businesses are such a big part of what mm-hmm. makes Glasgow yeah. really special, and we really want to support that.
Yeah.
The other thing would be, in Glasgow, we don't have as much of a problem yet with this, mm-hmm. but I would really like to keep it mm-hmm. that way, is that if you're staying at an Airbnb or any other kind of apartment rental, then mm-hmm. try and stay in someone's home.
Yeah.
So either stay in a room where, it's someone's room in someone's house,
mm-hmm.
or occasionally, I'm a travel writer, so I've got friends who sometimes let out their apartments while yeah. they're away, but it's still their home. So, what you don't want is some property developer swooping in and
yeah, definitely,
buying up loads of apartments and then just driving up prices and gouging a big hole in the community.
Yeah.
Which is, you see that happening in some other places in Scotland, and mm-hmm. it's not good. It would really take the heart out of Glasgow if that happened.
Yeah.
So we really need to stop that from happening.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's such an important thing to do. I think that's a really great idea. And as you say, hopefully it hasn't happened too badly in Glasgow. And I really hope that Glasgow avoids it in a way that some other cities haven't. I think that's really important.
It's all about the tourist kind of pounds, I suppose, as well, just going to support the local community mm-hmm. in whatever way they can. So that's an excellent tip. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That was absolutely fantastic. That's our last question, Sarah. It was a brilliant whistle-stop tour through the city in Scotland. It was great.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much to Sarah for joining us today.
Wasn't she fantastic? Such an amazing guest. Do you know what, Rachel? I thought I knew the city well, but there was so much that she was speaking about that I've never discovered before. The whole thing about the Glasgow jazz scene is just so cool. I'm desperate to go back to some gigs now.
It sounded amazing, didn't it? And it's funny because I'm actually moving to Edinburgh soon, but it's made me wonder whether I should be heading to Glasgow instead.
Yeah,
We'll see. For more on Sarah's work, follow her at www.sarahjcgillespie.com.
Wonderful. And listeners, we have a special bonus episode coming next week. The wonderful Lucy Richards, former host of Where to Go, will be in conversation with social media sensation Casey Rose. They'll be talking about Casey's life-changing move to Italy, sharing travel fails online, and Casey's brand new book, You Deserve Good Gelato.
Sounds really good. Then in the next episode after that, we'll be off to Munich and Bavaria. Can't wait.
This podcast was produced by Julia Baker and me, Bella Talbot. For more information about DKR Witness, visit dk.com/travel and follow us on social media at DKR Witness. Please rate, review and follow the show. Your support means so much to us.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.